You're listening to Gillespie, Excellence in Internet Radio, only on FTRradio.com.
And welcome to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. I want to welcome you all to another wonderful Tuesday in Excellence in Internet Radio. With me, as always, is the lovely Smoozy Q.
Oh, Smoozy Q.
Smoozy, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Josh. How are you?
Well, I've had a wonderful night.
So I hear.
Yes. Well,
read.
Yes, actually, it's been a fairly decent evening. We've been spending the family and I. We are here in our nation's capital, and this is my kids are on their fall break. And mm-hmm. my in-laws, they are about ready to retire. So we are taking this time to come out here, and the kids are finally getting to experience our nation's capital. They went to the Smithsonian today. I'm sure they're going to be going to a few other places later
fun.
This week. Oh, yeah. So they're getting a little bit of a education. They went to the Air and Space Museum. And apparently my oldest, who's only six, she looks up and she says, "That's a satellite." She does. I'm like, how do you know that's a satellite? Of course, I only heard the second hand because I was actually at work today. So, because yes, for those who do recall, I do happen to work for a member of Congress. So I actually went into the office.
Good.
Normally based out of the district, but I actually...
Nice to know you get in there and actually do some...
Something.
Some contributing, right?
Some contributing, yes. The taxpayers are getting their money's worth out of me.
Fantastic.
Exactly. So anyway, obviously there's been a lot going on,
not just
politically, but in the world of sports.
Right. As we speak, I'm watching the Cardinals Giants seventh game of their NLCS.
Yes.
And the Giants are up 1-0, but that's going to change. I'm pretty confident that it's going to go the right way for the Cards.
Well, since my Yankees are out, and there's a part of me that's rooting for St. Louis because I want to see them do a giant screw you to Albert Pujols and go to the World Series without him and be like, you know, do the you didn't even
we
make
didn't
the playoffs.
We didn't need you after all.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you could take your giant bronze statue that you have out in front of a burger hut and, you know, take it to California.
Now, you know, there are probably two schools of thought on that. There are those who would absolutely embrace that idea of kind of doing the nanny boo-boo to him. But there's a lot of us that still appreciate all the years that he contributed to the Cardinals organization. He was a really good, solid player to have around for many years and a good guy. So
No. Albert Pujols is one of the class acts of in Major League Baseball.
He really is.
But the fact is that he left the Cards for the big money.
He left us. He left us for another team.
Yeah. And he's a bit of a jerk for doing that. And as much as I love my big market Yankees, and I can be considered, you know, some kind of soulless Yankee fan. There's a part of me that does root for the underdog. And, you know, when I see teams like St. Louis do this, I'm proud. I'm proud that they can do that without the big superstars.
That's right.
And it makes me hope that the Yankees finally decide to implode the team, get rid of A-Rod and a whole bunch of other guys.
Let him go chase girls and give him his number.
Exactly. You know, send him down to Miami or out to Arizona.
Perfect.
And, you know, just, yeah, let him use the sun on his old joints and, give balls to other ladies in the crowd with his phone number on it.
Right.
Now, they'd be retirees, but, you know, whatever.
There might be some cougars in the blue hair set.
I guarantee you there's... Hey, he dated Madonna.
Oh, this is true.
So, you know, cougars, they're right up A-Rod's alley. No, but there's... I'm also sort of rooting for the Giants because, you know, I don't... Anybody but the Tigers. Because I got to stick it...
They're my American League team.
I got to stick it to Duke. I can't.
Well, I know. Well, see, that's actually how I kind of became more of a fan of theirs was because of Duke and Fingers.
Oh, that's just wrong. That's just wrong, Susie. We need to find you a different American League team.
Sorry.
I mean,
believe me, if the Cardinals win tonight, I'll be rooting against them. You better believe.
Well, now you've given me incentive to root for the Cards.
There you go. There's your incentive right there. I will be.
I gotta have Susie on my side.
Front and center rooting against the Tigers next week if the Cardinals win tonight.
Well, we'll know. Once this show airs, we'll definitely know.
We will know. We'll know that, and we'll know how the debate went.
That's right. So, what do you make of tonight's debate? We're talking foreign policy.
I know.
It's the same style of debate as the first debate, except they're sitting down.
Which I so much prefer. I like them being kind of set in one place. The whole pacing around thing makes me really uncomfortable.
Well, you know, I think that probably made a lot of people uncomfortable with the town hall because they really weren't pacing, weren't they?
Well, the camera work doesn't work well. They look weird. If they get close to each other, it does look like they're getting each other's faces and stuff. It just doesn't look right. I'm not comfortable with that setting.
But you like the sitting down a little bit better?
I do. I do. I think that's going to work, I think, probably better to Romney's advantage. I think he's going to feel more comfortable focusing in on what he wants to say and making his points instead of how he's coming across. And
well, sure. I think Romney seems a little bit more comfortable behind a podium.
Yeah, well, that may be true. I don't know if I've actually seen him sit down for a debate before, so this could be different. But
I haven't either, and I'm very interested to see how this plays out. If
DDR
he plays... Oh, come on. Now, you see, I question your patriotism and your love for America.
Hello, I am rooting on the Cardinals in America's pastime.
No, I get that, America's pastime. Plus, there's Monday Night Football. You know,
well, that's the Lions and the Bears, and, you know.
No one cares about them.
No, but... I do. I like the Lions, and I don't, you know.
Dang, you really are just on the Duke bandwagon. Duke and Fingers bandwagon. They have brainwashed
well,
you.
Well, my Rams
to
were
love the
so
D.
bad last year. I had to adopt a different team in the NFL, and so, you know.
Jeez. No,
but
I don't care
what's happening on Monday Night Football. I only care about the Cardinals game, and then I'll, you know, see how what Twitter says about the debate, and then tune in.
Oh, Susie. You're
that way I can fast forward through Obama's parts.
Hey, don't worry. The stories are already written.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are.
Well, what do you think? Again, we only have a couple minutes left, but what do you think Romney really has to do tonight to kind of solidify his position as a front runner in this race?
I think he just needs to stand firm. He doesn't need to take any great shots. He doesn't need to have any big zingers or anything. He just needs to stand firm. He needs to point out the flaws, and there are many.
Oh yeah.
In Obama's foreign policy, I mean, he's got plenty to work with there for sure. And I would love to see him come across as the guy that we saw during the first debate in terms of his confidence level.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
And then I don't care what Obama does. He can not show up. He can show up and be on his game. I don't really care.
You know what's funny is I did a hit for a local radio station earlier today, and they asked me, it's like, so what do you think why is President Obama's foreign policy a failure? And I was like, a foreign ambassador is dead for the first time in 30 years. You tell me why you think it's a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little bit dumbstruck at the question, but I know the guy's just trying to fill time. He's a good guy, trust me.
I sure as heck hope that Romney brings up the comment about him being flexible after the election, too.
Oh,
I mean, that's not getting near enough play and needs to come out tonight.
Not only that, but, I mean, he has President Obama telling Jon Stewart that these deaths weren't optimal.
Yeah, these weren't optimal.
Oh, my gosh!
Road.
Jeez! Come on! You're president, for Pete's sake. Deaths weren't optimal.
Well, the buck very rarely stops there.
Well, the buck is going to have to stop here because we have to get on to our next segment. Because coming up next, we have House District Representative David Frizzell from right here from Indiana. And then we're talking with Jason Whitman, National Policy Chairman of the Young Republican National Federation. We got a good show tonight, guys. Stay tuned for more. We'll be right back after this. You are listening to Gillespie right here on FTRradio.com.
Hey, fellow conservatives. When you're drinking your overpriced coffee or a Mocha Choco whatever in the Wacko Latte at Starbucks, you ever feel like you're the only conservative in there? That's because you probably are. But don't feel bad, as you can annoy the bejesus out of those pesky Moonbat, New York Times, and Daily Coast reading liberals by reading HoosierAccess.com. At HoosierAccess.com, you can read the latest thought and opinion from conservatives in the crossroads of America. Annoy the Moonbats. At HoosierAccess.com to your favorites today.
Hey, I'm Buddy Romer, candidate for president, former governor of the great state of Louisiana. And I invite you to listen to FTR. That's where I am, man. It's happening.
and welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRRadio.com. With Susie and me for this segment, we have, again, one of our favorite guests. Actually, as I like to introduce him, he was our very first guest when we started here, Gillespie, on FTRRadio.com. We have House District 93 Representative, excuse me, I'm jumping ahead of myself.
Yeah, please.
State Representative David Frizzell from Indiana. David, how you doing?
I am doing great. Looking forward to the next 2 weeks to go rather quickly.
I bet you are.
Well, it's been here in the state of Indiana, it's only good news. It's just a question of the level of good news. So
yes, exactly.
It's going to be good news all around for the House. I have no doubts about it. Where we're in leadership, we are trying to raise enough money where we can go after races where we didn't think we had the funding. Now we're trying to get the funding so we can go after those races as well. So it's a good place to be, but it also puts pressure on a lot of us to try to raise more and more money for the November 6th deadline. So,
the Indiana House Republicans have a 20-seat majority in the Indiana House. And if that's not enough, you guys really want to go for the jugular. I hear that there are potentially, we're looking at maybe a 5 to 7 seat pickup. And I know that's kind of a big number, when you're looking at a possible supermajority, especially with 67 seats. But, you know, again, apparently this is not out of the realm of possibility.
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, I made my prognostications for what it's worth. I still believe we're going to end up anywhere from 64 to 66 seats. That's what I'm thinking. Now, it's not out of the realm of possibility that we could get that supermajority, the 67th vote, which means that the Democrats can take a vacation anytime they would so desire without any repercussions as far as process.
You know, and the Comfort Inn in Illinois would welcome them with open arms. That's
absolutely
for sure.
Well, they need some kind of economy. They're not doing so well in Illinois, so any money they can get from fellow Democrats is always helpful. But I feel good about it. I mean, obviously we have some races. I think that, you know, on our perspective, we have 58 solid seats, and then we have 11 in play. That would either be a Republican or a Democrat seat. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, if we won each one of those, it'd be around 69. So I think that we could possibly get there. But, there are some seats that, we're looking at that we are obviously worried about. There are a couple of seats that, here in town, Cindy Noe, I think that's 87, I believe. I could be wrong. I believe this is by memory, Josh, so forgive me. But I think it's 87, and it's obviously a toss-up. But her district really, from being in the mid-upper 60s down to the low 50s, changed as far as her makeup of her district. And the latest polling is she's in the lead, single digits. But when you have 2 weeks to go in these House races, they can turn on a dime, no question about it. So she's up, and we're happy about that. Hopefully we can maintain that up to November the 6th. Some of the other ones we're worried about was House District 45, Jasonville. That would be Bruce Borders, our in-house, yes, Elvis Presley.
Yes, he is by trade an Elvis Presley impersonator.
That's right, and he is battling, hate the bad use of words, Greg Battles, who is a Democrat, but they were placed in the same district. Latest polling shows him beyond the double-digit lead. So we're,
oh, good.
I only caution all this stuff, though. Remember, anything could happen, obviously, in the next couple of weeks. But we have House District 31. And that's up at Grant County in the surrounding area. That's Kevin Mahan. I think his opponent's name is Katie Morgan, I believe. He was up in the upper single digits, but we feel that could be a likely Republican seat. Another one that's being contested is House District 60, Martinsville. That was Ralph Foley's old seat. Now we have Peggy Mayfield, who I believe serves as the treasurer there in Morgan County, against Peggy Welch, who's a Democrat who served several years And that's trending toward Peggy Mayfield's way. So still a close one, no question about it.
Now, can we talk to you just real quick about that particular race? I know Susie doesn't know too much about that, but Peggy Welsh, she represents a kind of a fairly liberal area, but Peggy has always been kind of a socially conservative representative. She
Correct.
Considers
you're,
herself
you're
a pro-life Democrat.
Yeah, that's exactly right. She is. And that would obviously be attractive to voters. The problem is that Peggy Mayfield has been running the ad about the Democrats walking. And in our polling, when they left, that is the most potent charge you can make against a Democrat, because even Republicans and Democrats and independents alike did not like people leaving their job for 5 weeks. Did not like it. And that's being devastated to Peggy Welsh. I think that Peggy Mayfield, though I like Peggy Welsh, obviously, I think she's a fine lady, she's not going to win that race. It's a 58% Republican district. There would have to be some kind of seismic shift for that to change the Democrat hand. And Peggy Welsh, I was surprised, maybe not so surprised, that she didn't run for the Senate seat.
Is that the one being vacated by Vice Simpson so she can lose to John or lose to Mike Pence and Sue Ellsperman?
Yeah, exactly right. You got that correct. But the fact is that's a pretty liberal seat. Don't think Peggy fit well in that. So that's why she decided to run for when she knew that Ralph Foley was retiring, she decided to run for that. And she was out very early, Peggy Welsh, with ads and all, not saying she was Democrat, just that she was their representative. I don't think that washes. I think that Peggy Mayfield wins that race. Mm-hmm. So, that's one that, we're looking at. Other ones that we do get very concerned about, of course, is we have one that is in Marion County, and that would be Tim Motzinger, and he's running, and that's District 92, I believe, or is it 91? I'm sorry. I think
no,
it's...
That's okay.
92. And he has got a tough race there. But in the end, they've got a good Republican ground game there, i.e. volunteers, and I think Tim wins that in a close race.
Well, we've had one of the also regulars on this show is local political pundit Abdul Hakim Shabazz, and I noticed that he had on his website, indypolitics.org, that
right.
when he was looking at that particular race, because Democrats all seem to be pretty excited about the possibility of picking up that race, but he right. said that he looked at the numbers of that district, and in 2008, Mitch won it, and in 2011, Mayor Greg Ballard, when he was running for re-election, won it. So it trends
right.
Republican.
It does. It does trend Republican, and I believe that the breakup is like maybe 54-53% Republican. Obviously, a moderate Republican district, but this is not a year for a Democrat hoping for upsets.
Especially in Indiana.
Yeah, well, when you look at where Obama is in this state, it's anywhere from 16 to 18 points ahead. That would be Mitt Romney mm-hmm. over Obama. There has been no effort here, or minimal effort at this point, because they know it's a waste of their time. So I'd have to say that always translates when you have a big Republican year in the presidential race, helps everybody on the ticket all the way, all from the top all the way down. So I think it helps all our members quite a bit. Though you can always make an argument that these are very local races, which they are, and mm-hmm. people get to know you and all. But the fact of the matter is, it's amazing even at the lower end of the ticket how people and a lot of people don't know who you are or what you're running for. They always get you confused with a congressman or whatever. So my point is that even though it might be minimal, there's still going to be helpful numbers because of this presidential race for all our candidates.
What do you think Republicans have to do here in the last couple weeks? Basically the entire ticket. To convince voters that they are the ones to lead our counties, our states, our federal government
right.
for the next couple of years?
Well, the fact of the matter is the national scene is that we have to take a different direction, the direction that we're going in right now. Nobody's going to argue, and you can use whatever nomenclature you want to use, but I feel that we're trending towards more and more government dictating the economy, our health care, all those things. That's the direction we're going into. It's a seminal election. I mean, coming down and saying, oh, this is an important election and all this. This truly is an important election because we're going to decide that. And I think for Republicans, from the top down to the bottom, is that what we preach is no reliance on government to minimize the reach of government. And that can go from the national all the way down to your councils, to other lower forms of governance, which I'm not minimizing those. They're just as important because they represent, you know, they're right there where the people can get in touch with them. And so they've got to talk about that. I think they, for us as state reps, what can you say? How great Indiana is doing.
That's true.
You know, we have one of the best. We're going to have over $2 billion in reserves. And not many states can boast that at all. We are getting more and more businesses coming to Indiana. A part of that is because of the right to work that we passed, and many other issues where businesses find a home here in Indiana. I think, as a matter of fact, we have over 75 in the pipeline now that are considering moving directly to Indiana. By the way, a lot of those are coming from Illinois, which should be no surprise to you about that.
Yeah.
But what we as Republicans will say is that we did the right thing. You know, we cut back when we had to. And, you know, and if in fact there's some large use or anything like that, some of that goes back to the taxpayer, which we have. A lot of people didn't like that idea where people would get money directly back from the state. But I'm always for it's their money in the first place. So yeah. I don't think that's a bad idea either. And if you read recently how many of the areas we've reduced our indebtedness, we've cut it almost in half now. And, I mean, we are just trending the right way. Not to say we sit on our laurels and say, oh, well, this is great, and we'll just continue to do the same. There's other things we can do, too, when it comes to preschool, not to mandate it, but to look at that because that is an important issue. And the ongoing process and number one issue is getting more jobs to the state, and that's what we're trying to do. So those are the things locally that we would, really champion at this point. So, this is one of the best atmospheres I've been in as far as the state's concerned in my whole career in the state house for Republicans.
Sure. Susie, you got a question?
I do. Representative Frizzell, I know that you were recently named the national chairman of ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council. What,
yes.
What sort of issues and hot topics are you all looking at right now?
Well, as you know, we're under attack and have been under attack. I started to, actually, Susie, I'm thinking about my term ends at the end of December. So how many days and minutes and seconds? No. We've been under attack from the George Soros groups,
right.
Color Change, Van Jones, Media Matters, all of them have been going after us because of several...
doing something right.
Yeah, well, the reason is that we believe... Here's the issues that we believe in and we have pushed as as an organization. Free enterprise system. Limited government, individual liberty, and federalism. Those are the four issues that we have pushed. That makes us an automatic enemy. And by the way, these groups are tangential to the president's campaign. Make no mistake about it. His tentacles are wide. And we have lost some of our businesses, McDonald's, Wendy's. I can go down a list of them who decided they just couldn't take the heat. But we've had a lot of them who joined us, too, because of this. So, in the end, we lost some people, but we're gaining new membership as well. So I'm encouraged by that. And I think these attacks from these groups will be mitigated or lessened quite a bit once Obama loses the election. I think that makes a big change. So that's actually, I thought being national chair was going to be great fun and all, and actually I've been spending at least 10, 15 hours a week with ALEC because we've been on a constant attack, and it's been tough, but we have a great staff, and we're doing very well. And I thank you for asking that, because to me, in my career, I've found no better organization than ALEC, because we believe in those four principles that I just cited, and we're working towards that. And, you know, the whole one of the big arguments, well, you got big business involved, they're on the private sector board and stuff like that. My rejoinder to that is this. Why wouldn't we have the job makers and creators be a part of the process?
Right.
You know, in the end, we decide as elected officials, or you know, as far as the state elected officials, we make the final decision on model legislation. But they should have some say about it, because the one thing wrong with Congress is we pass all this garbage that comes out of there, spews out of there, without any idea how that would affect people who create jobs. And that's where we are today because of that. They never consider that, and the results have been disastrous. So we have purposely included the private sector individuals because of that reason. We want to make sure if we craft something that we not only help everybody but also the businesses to give them the ability to create more jobs, which we desperately need in this time.
Representative Frizzell, and kind of in your work with Alec, how do you see this election nationally playing out between Governor Romney and President Obama? I mean, it seems as if it's trending towards Governor Romney. Obviously,
right.
I know Susie and I have discussed this. We don't want to get, too excited.
Too excited.
Yeah. but when you constantly see polls that say when it comes to issues that they trust Governor Romney on issues of the economy and business creation.
Yeah.
And the economy is one of the number one issues. I mean, the president is trying to make this into a campaign about social issues.
Right.
But people aren't buying it.
No, I don't think they are either. He's not from the lack of trying, that's for sure. He needs to do that. Well, he tries to divide us. He himself said we're not a red state or blue state. We're the United States of America, which that's been proven totally false. I mean, he's trying to divide us. That's the only way his path to victory, he sees it, trying to get the minorities and the groups, women and everybody else, to peel them off so he can eke out a win. My feeling is this, is a close yes. But if you look at all the, and you, I know Josh and you, Susie, both of you follow the polls. The polls on the state, the toss-up states, are trending very well for Romney, and if you didn't see it today, Rasmussen, I'm sure you did. Colorado now, Romney's leading 50 to 46, close, but out of the margin of error. So that's encouraging. And the latest polls in Ohio, it's either Obama up by one or Mitt Romney up by one, or a dead heat.
It is a dead heat, and he just got the Columbus Dispatch endorsement.
I heard that, and a lot of these papers are endorsing. I'm surprised that some of them are endorsing Romney, so I feel like the two of you. I feel cautiously optimistic. I think it either is going to be a close race where Mitt Romney wins, unless, of course, something happens dramatically that would change the trend, or I would see a total blowout by Romney. Because if you look at the 1980 election, Reagan was not doing this well at this time, if you remember.
Well,
and
yeah.
Romney, at least Gallup, which now the Obama and Reuters are all trying to discredit them when they just loved them about 3 months ago or 2 months ago, maybe even a month ago, because as you know, the Obama's throwing a lawsuit against them. I mean, campaign is what? Are you kidding me? But you saw that poll; it's a 6-point differential, 51 to 45.
Yeah,
that's substantial. And as a matter of fact, that's held for a couple of at least a week or so. It's either 52 or 51%. So
it would. I know we're recording this right before the third debate, but do you think that the people who watched that first debate, I mean, do you think that that first debate is really kind of carrying the weight behind this, or are people just kind of actually catching up to what what Governor Romney's been saying?
I think people are catching up. I believe that what a debate does is to make sure that you look credible, that you could actually be president of the United States. And I think that's what even the second debate, which the Democrats touted that Obama won, though he didn't win in one big sector, and that was the economy. He got blown out with
as
far as the polling is concerned. But it makes Romney, he's a good alternative. And that's what it's done. I just don't think that, you know, I mean, this is a massive change if you think about it. Because Romney, I mean, Obama, more maybe a month ago, was up 8-9 points, and they were just right. Remember, they were writing it off.
Oh, yeah.
They were saying, well, I mean, it was, but now it's a different story. I'd like to be a fly on the wall to hear what's going on in Chicago.
Yeah,
but,
I could tell you right now, Representative Frizzell, they're talking about binders. A lot about binders.
Yeah.
More and more binders.
Well, you know, the fact is that, I don't know, I guess they really think that women are that stupid. I mean, I'm sorry. The fact of the matter is women need jobs too, really? Mm-hmm. Sure they do. And, you know, and that's the reality. Now, to talk about contraceptives and this type of thing, it's like, you know, and let's get, you know, when he's talking about, you know, Romney and how he treats women, well, if you look at the Obama administration, heck, they pay their women less than the men in the administration.
Right.
What's that all about, right? I mean, come on.
They're two-faced hypocrites. That's what they are.
Yeah, indeed they are. So, yeah. But anyway, I feel good about it. I think we're going in the right direction. We'll see what tonight is. What happens tonight, I just think that Romney doesn't have to attack. I think Romney just has to be calm, collective, and just ask some pointed questions and just show that he would be a great leader when it comes to international affairs, which I think he would. I mean, there's so much to attack on Romney. It's like, how do you... I mean, where do you start, right?
Right.
I'm just hoping that I have... And again, this airs on Tuesday night, so I could be eating my words by the time this thing airs. But I have a lot more confidence in Bob Schieffer than I do the previous two moderators. That said, I actually thought Jim Lehrer did a good job because he did what a debate is supposed to do, and that is to let the two candidates battle it out, and the moderator gets out of the way.
I agree with that. Unlike Candy, who really tried to work her magic.
Yeah.
But I am excited for our state. I believe that Mike Pence will be our next governor. I do believe that Murdoch will be our next senator because the bleed on the success of the president, Mitt Romney, and also the governor will have some effect, maybe not as large as most, but for Murdoch, I believe that I know that the latest poll on him, as far as Rasmussen, and I'm sorry, I use that a lot because they're one of the most accurate polls. Murdoch was up by 5, I think it was 47 to 42.
Exactly.
So I think it's moving in the right direction.
Yep.
You know, now all these attacks and all that stuff is starting to get blurry. You know, I think the majority of people in Indiana have already made their minds up at this point.
Well, yeah. Dave, I really thank you for being on tonight.
Thank you for having both of you. It was a pleasure meeting both of you and talking to you.
Hey,
sure.
Josh, I'm just so proud of you. I really am.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
That sounds like a father.
I know. Well,
of course.
You've known me since I was born, so yeah. I mean, yeah, you're almost practically like a second father. Hey, real quick, if people want to help the Indiana House Republicans in their efforts to maintain their majority and hopefully increase. Where can they do that?
If you can bear with me, I'm just trying
to find
it.
In HRCC.com?
Yeah, that's it. Any money that they can give in the next 2 weeks are going to be critical because they need to know the money's coming in the door so they can commit money, as you know, to get out the ads and everything in the last couple of weeks. So it's critical if they want to do it quickly, and it'll be a big help because maybe we can even do better than what we were talking about as far as numbers for the House.
All right.
All right. See you all later.
See you.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Dana Perino, and you're listening to FTR Radio.
College graduates should not have to live out their 20s in their childhood bedrooms, staring up at fading Obama posters and wondering when they can move out and get going with life. Hey.
Welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. With us this segment, we have National Policy Chairman and friend of the show, National Policy Chairman of the Young Republican National Federation and friend of the show. I'll get it right one of these times. We have Jason Whitman. Jason, how are you doing, sir?
Doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Doing just fine. Right now, we wanted to have you on because you have been a longtime endorser of Governor Romney's. And as we mentioned at the top of the segment, you were National Policy Chairman for the YRs. Where do you see this campaign going in the final 3 weeks? And what do you make of what we can only affectionately call Mittmentum?
Well, first of all, I'm going to address the first question or the second question first, which is Mittmentum. You're seeing in the polls, both in Rasmussen and of course Gallup, a pretty significant increase from where the governor was at prior to the first debate. And that's really exciting. And you're not really seeing much of a bump from the second debate for the president, so that's also exciting. So we've really got some momentum on our side right now. That doesn't mean that it's okay for us to be complacent right now, by any means, because we've still got 16 days to go, and a lot can happen in 16 days, as we know. Having said that, I think it's very encouraging for our people working on the ground. It's very encouraging for us as campaign people to actually be seeing some real progress here. And we want to keep moving that forward.
Well, the last... Now, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but just kind of real quick here. I remember the last time we had you on, Governor Romney had pretty much just kind of wrapped up the nomination, or was in the process of wrapping up the nomination. And there was still a little bit of hesitancy to get behind him from many of the grassroots people, from a host of other Republicans. Do you see us out even, and maybe is this contributing to the Mittmentum, the momentum that Governor Romney is seeing, that there is a lot of excitement now with Republicans and conservatives behind Mitt Romney?
I think there is, because I think that they realize, Governor Romney is not Obama, first of all, which, of course, is something that we hear a lot of the Ron Paul people and stuff talk about, most of whom are not with us still, by the way.
Yeah.
In terms of community. But most of the rest of the base is very unified right now. You see it in terms of fundraising with $170 million haul in September. You see it with people actually, grassroots people, making calls for the gov. You see it at the rallies with thousands and thousands of people. So, yes, I think from the point that we were in the primaries where there was a lot of divisiveness and there really wasn't a lot of unity, that is pretty well gone at this point. People are highly motivated. They want the president gone out of office, and they realize, Mitt is going to be a competent president. The man is prepared. He's got the experience, and he's who we need in office right now to return American exceptionalism to this country. And I think people see that.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is something that we were talking about off air. We happen to be recording this segment on a Sunday night. The debate is Monday night. This show airs Tuesday night. So if this segment were actually, if this interview were actually taking place on Tuesday, what do you think people will be saying about the debate after Monday night? Because this could be focusing on foreign policy, which, we can look at things sort of objectively here on this show. I mean, obviously, we're conservative, we're right-leaning. But Mitt Romney did not exactly handle the question of Libya all that well during the second debate.
Well, he really didn't, but I would not expect that to happen again. And I think that Governor Romney is pretty well-versed on foreign policy issues. I think he's going to come out swinging in this debate, and I think he's going to put the president on the defensive. Because if you look at the president's record on foreign policy, it is really an abject failure in every possible regard, with the exception of Osama bin Laden.
And so he really doesn't have a lot to stand on. He was only enacting Bush policy there.
Well, true. I mean, the only reason that they ended up finding bin Laden was because of the enhanced interrogation techniques that Bush put into place, which the president was not in favor of.
No.
We would have never gotten Laden if it hadn't been for those.
I just want to hear him blame Bush for getting Osama bin Laden. He blamed blames Bush for everything. Could he at least blame Bush for getting Osama bin Laden?
Don't hold your breath.
That's
on
the one thing you won't blame him for.
Well, let's talk about this second debate real quick. Again, I know we've by the time this show airs, we'll already be talking about the third debate and Bob Schieffer's performance as moderator. But the one thing that I don't think many of us can get past is Candy Crowley's efforts at promoting herself during her position as moderator, so-called moderator, fact checker, journalist, Obama hack during the second debate.
I was absolutely floored when she interjected while Governor Romney was talking, you know, in agreement with the president, which actually was factually wrong, something that she did not walk back when she was in front of 60 or 70 million people.
Mm-mm.
You know, she was factually incorrect in front of that enormous audience, and then she admitted it later when, you know, only a fraction of that number of people are actually watching. I've watched presidential debates for a number of cycles now. That was the most remarkable thing I've seen in a presidential debate.
Susie, what did you make of Candy's performance?
Well, I thought that particular moment, I mean, I felt like overall she did kind of what I expected her to do. But at that particular moment, I was, like Jason, I was floored. And I was pissed off, to be honest, because she made herself part of the debate. She interjected herself into the narrative, if you will, of the debate, and inappropriately so. And yes, she did later come clean, if you will, and kind of acknowledge that she... you know, that Romney's larger point was correct and that maybe that wasn't exactly, you know, what she meant, but it was too late. I mean, it was kind of one of those things where her instinctive reaction pretty much gave away who she's really pulling for and whose side she's on.
Exactly.
Right, because you definitely would not have seen her fact-checking the president were he to make an incorrect. And we know he made plenty during that debate, and she never worried about it then.
I also thought he looked kind of silly then turning to her and say, hey, can you say that a little bit louder? It was kind of like he was saying, hey, can you be my champion a little bit more?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little bit embarrassing.
It was a mind-numbingly obtuse performance by a moderator. You know, and I know that...
Over the course of the entire debate, I didn't think that she was horrible, honestly.
No.
But that was so abysmally awful that I think it overshadowed the fact that she actually did a pretty decent job, for the most part, for the rest of the debate.
Well, no, she interrupted Governor Romney 29 times compared to, or 28 times compared to only interrupting President Obama 9 times. And after every single question, she was like, oh, well, we got to get through this because, you know, we got to get on to the next question. If she would have just shut up and started and stopped making herself part of the debate, they probably would have had more time to actually discuss some of these other questions that the voters had. This, the town hall debate, is not about the moderator. It is about the voters. And you can even question whether any of those voters were actually undecided. I mean, seriously, who claps in a town hall when you're not supposed to clap?
Yeah.
It happened twice.
You kind of have to ask yourself, I mean, are these really questions that, you know, undecided voters are going to ask, really?
Exactly. Well, okay.
You know,
okay. We could talk about debate number two all we want, but, you know, again, I think we should focus on the positive. And a number of the positives that we're seeing, again, from Governor Romney's campaign is that he's getting a lot of swing state newspaper endorsements. For instance, today we found out about the Columbus Dispatch coming out in support of Governor Romney. I mean, Ohio is a vitally important state to this election. Both candidates are fighting tooth and nail. I'm actually recording this segment from my in-law's house in Virginia. And on the way out here, we saw, as we were getting close to the Ohio-West Virginia border, we were still in Ohio, we were heading 70 eastbound. They're coming 70 westbound. All of a sudden, I'm noticing there's no traffic. And then a bunch of motorcycle cops and this huge Romney Ryan bus. It was very cool. But
nice.
I was like, and I'm thinking, smart move, Governor Romney. You better be in Ohio. And then the Columbus Dispatch comes out in support of Governor Romney. What are you making of these endorsements? I mean, Obviously, I know they're huge.
Well, I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that newspaper endorsements don't matter anymore. And I think that is incorrect, primarily because they reach a really important demographic. The people who read newspapers still vote a lot. Mm-hmm. A higher percentage of them vote. So I think that it does still matter. And I think the other thing that's important is to keep in mind that it does create a sense of momentum. Mm-hmm. Okay? When you start seeing a large number of newspapers swinging for your guy, that kind of makes you feel good. You know, even if it really doesn't matter, per se, it makes you feel like it matters, and it makes you want to work harder, and it gives you that sense of momentum that I think is really important. And especially, I think that's true in the case of papers that supported the president in 2008, for instance, the Orlando Sentinel. That was a big endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that paper endorsed Barack Obama in 2008. And they endorse the governor in this cycle. So that's kind of a big deal. The Tampa Tribune, rather, endorsed the president. The Pittsburgh Tribune Review, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, today the New Hampshire Union Leader. So there's quite an avalanche, really, of newspaper endorsements going the governor's way, and I think that's really helpful. But I think the Columbus Dispatch is probably the most important one, just because of the nature of Ohio and how important it is to the swing state. And it was really a scathing indictment of the president's record. I mean, I don't know if you read the whole piece,
mm-hmm.
but it was pretty scathing.
Yeah, they didn't pull the punches there.
No. The opening lead was, Romney has a real-world experience to lead the nation out of economic malaise.
Wow.
Okay, well, that was the opening lead. You know, just kind of a fact-by-fact indictment of the president's record economically. It was an excellent piece. And there was a couple other interesting things in there. One of the things I thought was really interesting was they said in 2008, one of the things that they were worried about was how a president who had been so far to the left in American politics could ever be a centrist or be bipartisan. And he is not, and he never has been, and he is probably incapable of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really important point to make, because the governor has proven himself to be very capable of being bipartisan. I mean, he got a lot of stuff accomplished in his 4 years in Massachusetts, and he did it with an 83% Democratic legislature.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, we have to work with Democrats to get stuff done.
That's the reality.
I prefer that we get, but that's reality. And so we need somebody who's capable of doing that. Clearly the president is not. He hasn't even talked to Speaker Boehner since July.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Jason. And you talk about working with Democrats here. And it seems as if this is very important to independent voters, to uncommitted voters, to moderate voters. And I'm not talking about working with Democrats per se, but I'm talking about working together. And the one thing that stuck out to me in the vice presidential debate that no one has said a thing about, I haven't seen it anywhere, but was Joe Biden saying to Paul Ryan, if you guys would just get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No one even covered that. That was a huge tell about how they feel in terms of working together with Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
But here's the thing. Conservative commentators didn't even touch it. I was floored.
Right.
Yeah, that should have been all over the right, the media on the right.
And, you know, it wasn't. It wasn't. And I know I'm bringing it up here. We didn't have a show last Tuesday because there was a debate on Tuesday. Otherwise, I would have talked about it then. But it sickened me that Joe Biden could get up there. He didn't just say it once. He repeated himself. Mm-hmm. If you guys would just get out of the way. All right? That is not what we call working with the other side. That is not bipartisanship. That is totalitarian rule. Get out of our way.
Today's Democratic Party.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And the leadership.
And that is the one thing that you have to give tremendous respect for Governor Romney for. I know that the president and the Democrats are trying to paint him as some far right wing radical, and or as a flip flopper. It depends on. I mean, their campaign has been a little. Oh goodness. They're throwing everything at the wall and just seeing what sticks.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is say Big Bird, binders. I mean, their campaign is about small things at this point,
mm-hmm.
which is what most losing campaigns do.
Yeah, especially at this point.
You know, whether, I don't know if you saw this later in the week last week, Stephanie Cutter brought up the thing about Mint maybe being a felon. You know, maybe violated
that. She brought it back up.
She brought it up again.
Oh, my God.
I mean, how pathetic is that?
Very. Oh, my word. Well, Jason, again, let's kind of stay on the positive here. We got 3 weeks to go.
Two.
Less than that. Yeah, 2 weeks to go.
Two and two.
Two. Yeah, the election will be back at 2-2. 2 weeks to go before the big day. What does Team Romney have to do in these last 2 weeks to ensure that they reach 270 in the electoral count? Because it seems like right now a lot of commentators are already assuming that he'll win the popular vote. But he may not win the Electoral College.
I've seen that too. I think one of the key things is I heard earlier in the day today there was people talking about, well, maybe the governor needs to pull out of Ohio and focus on other swing states, work on a different path to victory. I don't think that's true at all. I think you're seeing a lot of the battleground states right now
mm-hmm.
really starting to swing. It's slow, but you're starting to see them swing in Romney's favor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is going to be adequate to get him over the edge because he already has the lead right now in the Electoral College.
Yeah, just barely, according to the latest RCP average. You're right, he does.
So I think if we can just hold our momentum right now, keep this momentum going, moving forward for the next 14-plus 2 days, you're going to see a lot of those voters in those swing states when they get in that polling place, they're by themselves, and they're introspecting about what who they're going to pull the lever for. I think you're going to see an awful lot of those people swinging in Romney's direction. They may never admit it, but I think it's going to happen. And so I think we're going to pick up an awful lot of those states, and I think we will do fine in terms of the Electoral College, as well as the podcast.
Well, the ever popular, what I think is University of Colorado survey that has predicted the outcome of every presidential race since 1980, they have never been wrong. And their latest one not only had Governor Romney winning, but winning overwhelmingly. Do you think that
I saw that.
And we're talking about over 300 electoral votes. We don't want to get too optimistic, but I mean, it's hard not to when you see things like this. Do you think that that is even a possibility, or we should just keep our minds focused on 270, right?
I think we should keep our mind focused on 270, but in terms of the possibility of that happening, I really do think that it's a real possibility. If you look at this election, and I think the closest you can model this election probably is 1980.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a very realistic possibility. But, having said that, we need to aim for 270.
Yeah.
And we need to work our butts off like we're 5 points down between now and election day.
That's right.
And then, if that is to happen, if we do end up winning in a landslide like that, then glory be, we can celebrate then.
Okay, final word, in just less than a minute here. What are your thoughts on the Senate? Do you think we take it?
I think we take the Senate.
I hope so.
I'm optimistic.
I'm optimistic, too.
To hear that.
One thing I do want to say real quick, too, is we need to be supporting Aiken in that seat against McCaskill. It's looking winnable. We really need to work hard on that one.
Poll show. I've seen a couple different polls actually have him in the lead. Now, of course, those are coming from the Aiken campaign, so who knows. But I think that race is probably a lot closer than people think, even regardless of Congressman Aiken's comments. So
I'm still seeing plenty of Aiken signs around here.
Yeah, Susie's from Missouri, so she knows.
Right.
So, well, Jason, thanks for being on this week. Hey, where can people find you on the internet?
Twitter at Jason B. Whitman and yrnf.com/policy.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking with Dr. Jason Whitman of the National Policy Director for the Young Republican National Federation. We're all pulling for Mitt here, guys. We only got 2 weeks left. And you're listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. We'll be right back after this.
This is Andrew Breitbart, and you're listening to FTR Radio.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. Well, Susie, we had a pretty good show tonight.
We sure did.
Yeah, well, I would like to thank our guest, House District Representative David Frizzell. He is the majority whip in the Indiana House. He represents House District 93. And we also spoke with
Dr. Jason Whitman,
National Policy Chairman of the Young Republican National Federation. Susie, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter at SmoozyQ or at my blog at qwithaview.wordpress.com.
And they can find me at Josh Gillespie on the Twitters as well as at joshgillespie.com, where you can find the complete archive of Gillespie here on FTR Radio. Coming up next, we have the Snark Factor with Fingers Malloy with the Snark Factor players. So for the Smoozy Q, this has been Josh Gillespie. We want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. We'll see you again next week.
Bye-bye.
Speak like you used to. And where do we go to now that our comfort is gone?
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?